What's going on, Cubs fans? This is the Locked On Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. You're listening to episode 145 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Sean Sears. I am a writer for NBC Sports Chicago. On today's episode, we have an exciting 3-0 win to recap for the Cubs as they end up splitting the series with the Pirates and extending their lead in the NL Central to a full game. We'll recap this Thursday night win and preview today's matchup against Adam Wainwright and the Cardinals. In the second segment, we'll talk about Addison Russell. He's been officially ruled out of the regular season with the administrative leave he's been put on due to the domestic violence claims that have been pushed against him by his ex-wife, recently releasing that blog post. We'll talk all about it. I know we haven't really addressed it on the podcast yet, so we'll kind of go over it in this second segment. That'll probably be, for the most part, the second segment. We'll kind of take a look at the roster without Russell because it looks like, I mean, at the moment, he won't be with the team for the regular season. It's probably safe to assume there's some type of suspension coming. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, taking a look at the NL Central as the Cubs and Brewers battle it for the division crown. And then we'll take a quick look at the NL wildcard standings, as whoever doesn't win the NL Central will be getting the top wildcard spot, and the final three spots will be decided between three teams. So let's talk about this exciting win. This was a huge game for the Cubs. Clearly, they had to split this series with the Pirates just, you know, for the simple fact that they had to do this to maintain their lead in the division. The Brewers are right there with them. They're playing the Tigers this weekend, who are likely going to probably not play well. So the Brewers, likely, in all intents and purposes, if they execute the way they should probably sweep this weekend. So the pressure's on the Cubs right now. They have to execute. They have to do the things they need to do to win these games, and they did just that today. It was a great win here overall for the Cubs. They, you know, nothing spectacular, but executing in moments where they normally don't was the big key factor here. Let's start with the pitching, though. It was John Lester versus Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams and Lester had both been two of the hotter pitchers in baseball at the time. Coming into this game, both had sub 160 ERAs. I think Williams was at like 107, Lester was at like 167, something like that. Both sub 2 ERAs within the last seven starts have been incredible. And Williams came into today's game through five innings, was pretty much kind of banged around a little bit, not hit hard, but gave up eight hits, the three earned runs here today. Walked three, struck out four, whereas Lester was able to go six innings today, scattering across three hits, no earned runs, had four walks, but was able to work himself out of some jams, including a couple really great plays from David Bodie, some excellent double plays turned from Baez to Murphy. So he looked great. John Lester absolutely did everything he could and then some to win this game on the mound and in the field. So let's quickly recap how the Cubs were able to pull out this win. So in the first inning, there wasn't any scoring, but there was some heavy traffic on base. Lester had to work out of a bases-loaded jam. He gave up a leadoff single to Pablo Reyes, who seems to be the new like Scooter Jeanette or like thorn in the side for the Cubs for some reason. Seems to always be a pesky hitter at the moment. Starling Marte walked. Francisco Cervelli walked a batter later. Bases loaded. They went to a mound visit, and Jose Azuna struck out looking to get the Cubs two outs, and then Josh Harrison grounded into a force out. Baez went to second base with that ball and ended the inning, but things were dicey for a little bit, and because of it, we saw Lester's pitch count jump up. I think he was at 84 pitches through the fourth inning and just battled through for two more innings. So the Cubs were able to get on the board in the second inning thanks to a David Bodie triple that was started with two back-to-back singles. Kyle Schwarber and Ian Happ both singled, and it looked like it was going to be another wasted opportunity for the Cubs as Wilson Contreras went down on strikes. Lester did the same thing. Luckily, David Bodie, on a full count, was able to rope a ball right down the line, on the third base side, down to the left field, leg out a triple, scoring both, you know, clearly Schwarber and Happ to give the Cubs an early 2-0 lead in the second inning. Later after the game, Bodie was talking with Kelly Carroll, and he was kind of going over that at bat, and he said he'd never faced Trevor Williams before. He's got four pitches, and he said luckily in his first at bat, he saw all those pitches. So he knew that, you know, going down in the count, having a pitch to play with, you know, knowing he's got to hit his pitch or could just load the bases up and, you know, face another guy, decided to go soft, and Bodie was on top of it and almost was too early on it, was able to pull it down the line, keep it fair, and, you know, lay out a triple on a really great pitch. So kudos to David Bodie, a guy that clearly isn't afraid of the moment and even said so in that interview with Kelly Carroll. So just a fun guy. Glad the Cubs have him right now, especially with the way Chris Bryant has been on and off this season. Later in the fourth inning, the Cubs were able to score another run. It was Ian Happ walking, but then getting thrown out, caught stealing on Wilson Contreras swinging, who then later got a double, unfortunately. It was a wasted opportunity there, but John Lester singled on a ground ball to left field, and Pablo Reyes was able to toss the ball to center to the catcher and gun down Wilson Contreras. It almost felt like Contreras wasn't quite ready to go home on that play. He rounded third and took a really wide turn. It took a really nice play from Francisco Cervelli because Pablo Reyes' throw wasn't necessarily on. The timing wasn't great. It wasn't an on-target throw, but Cervelli was able to scoop the ball because it bounced and then make a great play and keep Wilson from doing anything as he went for a head first slide. I think he actually caught Cervelli's cleat to the face. Cleat's down, the top of his foot, but still, you know, never fun to catch anything in the face, particularly a foot. So he slid right into Cervelli, was out. JD brought up an interesting point on the broadcast and said something along the lines that when where Cervelli is, if Wilson wanted to, he could run him over. And I, you know, last thing I want to do is deal with that. So Contreras tossed out at home. Lester singled, of course, and that was how that happened. David Bodie walked. Lester went to second, and then Murphy came up and hit a line drive single to second or to center field, and John Lester scored from second on a Starling Marte throw. Was there just in enough time. The throw bounced, which pretty much guaranteed Lester was going to be safe, and the Cubs got an insurance run in the fourth inning thanks to Daniel Murphy. And that was about all they needed for the most part. Lester would cruise through the rest of this game. Not too much traffic on the bases after that. Steve Cishek came into the game and closed out the seventh inning. Edwards walked and then was able to get himself a nice double play to end that inning. And then Chavez came in and saved the ball or saved the game, and that was about it for the Cubs. The Pirates didn't threaten much, didn't have much pop. John Lester located his pitches and was getting the pitches that he was trying to, you know, that he wanted. There was one sequence when there was a little bit of traffic, and Wilson Contreras was kind of doing a little bit of a lot. He was very animated. Even like Len and JD brought it up on the broadcast, just how in sync he was. This was the first game in a long time I noticed Wilson catching, and you know, that's kind of a crazy thing because normally you just kind of like offhandedly look and see who's catching, you know, just from the catcher's gear who it is, Contreras, Giratini, whatever. But you were just aware that it was Wilson Contreras catching, that he was, you know, doing things and being active, particularly trying to be aware of any pass balls with the runner on third. He just looked like he was engaged, and I was very encouraged by that. So that's a good sign to see as the Cubs come into a very important series against, the Cardinals. The Cardinals come to Chicago here this weekend, and the three-game series, the series finale on the season, kicks off Friday with Wainwright against Kyle Hendricks. It's a 1:20 local start for the Cubs. Wainwright just came back from a DL stint here in this month of September, has thrown three outings, has been pretty good, had a no decision in two of those three, but had a spectacular game on September 16th against the Dodgers. Won six innings, nine strikeouts, had three walks, but only allowed two hits and no runs. His other two previous starts, there were no decisions against Pittsburgh and the Giants, gave up four runs each. Walks haven't really necessarily been an issue, so it's been more of his location. Over his last seven starts on the season, which, you know, he had a gap from April to September, he's got a 4.08 ERA. It's also the only starts he's had all season. So on the season, he's a 4.08. So not a guy that's particularly playing well. The Cardinals themselves aren't playing well right now. They just got swept by the Brewers. Thanks a lot, Cardinals. But they're also still in the postseason picture. They're going to be pushing hard. So not a team to take lightly, but Wainwright looks like a guy that's either missing bats or not. And for the Cubs' sake, I hope he's not. Kyle Hendricks, on the other hand, has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. In his last seven starts, he's sporting a 1.55 ERA. In his last seven starts, hasn't given up more than two runs. In any of his starts, had a shutout against Cincinnati on August 26, allowed one run, two runs, one run, and one single run against the Phillies, Nationals, Brewers, Diamondbacks, and White Sox collectively. He's been fantastic. He had 8 strikeouts in his start against Arizona. Looked pretty solid against the White Sox. 1.7 2/3. Almost threw a complete game in Arizona before that. Kyle Hendricks is on it right now. I'm not worried about Kyle Hendricks whatsoever, and I think this, the way this starts rolling out, this is going to work out relatively well for the Cubs because they will be able to go with John Lester in game one of a series, whether that's the wild card game or, you know, the first game of the NLDS. Or if they do have to go in the wild card game, John Lester there, and then Kyle Hendricks for game one in the NLDS, assuming they win that game. So I pulled up the stats against Wainwright here for the Cubs. Not too good, unfortunately. Now, for the most part, as a team, for the starters that are currently on this roster, they bat .223 against Wainwright. They've only hit 3 home runs against him, a collective 46 hits. Out of those 46 hits, only 16 of those have been extra base hits. So a lot of singles, a lot of putting things together, a lot of strikeouts, 43 of them to be exact. Guys that hit Wainwright well, not too many of them, honestly. It's basically Daniel Murphy, who's batting .400 against him in 20 plate appearances. Tommy La Stella is batting .500 in 4 plate appearances. And Ian Happ is batting .333 in 6 plate appearances, 2 hits against Wainwright. Everyone else, for the most part, not necessarily great. Zobrist bats .267. Baez is .250. Hayward's .280. Not bad. Rizzo's .239, but he's seen him the most. He's had 54 plate appearances, 46 at-bats. He's walked 6 times, has 5 RBIs, a home run, has struck out 6 times. He leads the team in strikeouts against Wainwright, but makes sense because he's also seen him the most. So, not necessarily encouraging, but this is also Wainwright coming back from injury, has been kind of beaten up. The Cardinals do need an excellent performance out of Wainwright. They need an excellent performance all around to basically win out to hope that they can make the postseason. They'll be riding a lot of adrenaline. The Cubs will need to match it. So we'll have to see what happens there. So let's roll to the second segment as we have some sort of unfortunate news, but also news that we need to talk about, that Addison Russell and some developments with his ongoing case. So for those of you who do not know what's going on with Addison Russell, which I would assume at this point is pretty hard to do, he was placed on administrative leave by the MLB last Friday after his ex-wife released a blog post detailing more of some of the alleged domestic violence and just some of the honestly just terrible things he did to her. For the most part, it sounds like there was a lot of emotional trauma. He was definitely not being faithful to his wife, as I think everyone knew of last year, but she didn't necessarily come out and say of any particular times where Russell was truly hitting her. She did say that she can remember the first time he got aggressive with her. But beyond that, there wasn't too many things in there totally pointing towards Addison Russell doing any type of physical harm, which is bringing all the crazy hot takes out right now on Twitter, as I'm sure everyone's seen or whatnot. I'm not trying to pick a side here at all. I will say I think what Addison Russell we know has done is absolutely terrible in any sense of the word, and you hope that these things didn't happen, but if they did, you hope the proper... that basically you hope for the best, and this is a situation that no one wants to be in, but you particularly have to feel for Melissa, Addison Russell's ex-wife. So, but there was more news coming out today from the MLB. A couple days ago, there was a report coming out that the MLB had more than just this blog post that kind of was, you know, detailing what Addison Russell had done to his wife, and basically had credible sources kind of, it sounded like, pointing towards Melissa Reedy's direction, is kind of the way I read things. He was officially today ruled out of the regular season, so he will not be playing this weekend, and likely, it sounds like Ken Rosenthal was kind of implying yesterday in an article that he wrote that essentially assumed that Russell is likely going to see some type of suspension time, no matter, you know, whether found guilty, innocent, whatever it happens. It sounds like he's going to serve suspension because, for the most part, it sounds like a lot of these things that did happen were inappropriate. And whether or not domestic violence, clearly Melissa Reedy has issues with what happened. So, this is just one of those ugly situations that, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't here for the Cubs for the most part. You want to hope that Addison Russell is a good person. Some of this is exaggerated, but, you know, at the same time, you also don't want to make someone feel illegitimate or their claims not heard. So it's an ugly situation all around. Epstein made some comments about this today on 670 The Score as well, kind of acknowledging that he really can't, you know, they won't know of anything in terms of this investigation until it's concluded with the MLB. He actually said the Cubs themselves can't actually launch their own investigation until the MLB is concluded there. So basically they're just kind of waiting for a response for the most part. But basically, to summarize, Addison Russell was put on administrative leave, which was supposed to go through a 7-day period, which would have been Thursday. But with everything going on and how serious these allegations are, they clearly extended that through the regular season. It's not clear whether or not he's going to play in the postseason, but it looks extremely doubtful that Addison Russell will be playing at any point the rest of the season, and clearly not the regular season, but, you know, with how he was playing in general to begin with, he was nothing more than really a really solid defensive replacement with maybe plus bat. But at this point, Mike Freeman's been added to the 40-man roster. The Cubs probably will take it as a chance to play more David Bote and find Ben Zobrist more bats, and same with Danny Murphy. So when you're looking at the actual situation itself, they'll clearly, Addison Russell, until this is resolved, should not be playing for the Cubs, because there's a lot of, you know, if it does come out that it's correct, there's going to be repercussions, and clearly Addison Russell will not be coming back with the Cubs. And even if things are cleared and, or, you know, maybe not cleared, but not even proven one way or another, it's going to be really tough for the Cubs to bring back Addison Russell, put him on this roster, and have fans just accept him for who he is. So, stranger things are happening, but I just can't see that getting past Cubs fans. So, quickly before we go to the third and final segment here, Chris Bryant, wrist still day-to-day. I know yesterday it sounded like he was talking to the trainers and seeing what he could do, even just like making sure he could pinch run for Joe Maddon if he needed to. Basically just seeing what he is available to do. The swelling of the wrist wasn't as bad. It's day-to-day. Epstein sounded like he was confident, you know, Chris Bryant will be back at some point this season and will be able to contribute. So that's great. Pedro Strop getting closer. It sounds like we might be able to actually see him this weekend, potentially. So that's great news. Getting healthy finally for the Cubs, that's a huge thing, particularly with, you know, the bullpen and how many arms the Cubs have had to go to these last couple nights. Joe Maddon had his playoff speech. He gave that on Thursday. And usually he gives it, of course, like right before the postseason starts. But with the way things are, he basically said, you know, for him, the postseason's already started. And I kind of said something similar on the podcast, too, yesterday. But, yeah, for the most part, these are must-win games. Every game we come into from this point out. So might as well get the Cubs in the right mindset. So kudos to Joe. But with that, let's go to the third and final segment as we'll take a look at the standings in the wild card as well as the NL Central. So the Cubs, of course, won today. They will be 93-66 now, which would put them a game up on the Brewers. They will now be 6 games ahead of the Cardinals. The Pirates fall to 12 games, and Cincinnati down to 27 games. Of course, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh have been eliminated. St. Louis, Milwaukee are battling for, St. Louis is battling for a wild card spot. Milwaukee is guaranteed a wild card spot, but is battling for the NL Central crown here, of course. 3 games left in the season, pretty much winner takes all. Best of three for both teams here. Right now, the wild card standings look like this. Colorado currently leads their division at the moment. The Dodgers would be holding on currently to the one single wild card spot right now available, and the Cardinals would be currently sitting out of the postseason at the moment. So clearly they need to be winning and winning a bunch against the Cubs this week, and they absolutely need to win every game. The Cubs need to do the same to make sure they win the NL Central. And that's basically it for a playoff picture that a week ago looked a lot more crazy than it does today. We had quite a few teams get eliminated last night. So, I don't know if anyone saw, but there was a pretty funny video of NBC Sports put together of the Brewers locker room, basically kind of cheering, getting excited for their first playoff berth since 2011, and then a cut to the Cubs locker room, which was just like Rizzo and Hayward goofing around on their phones and people walking in and out, but very quiet, nothing going on, kind of like, you know, act like you've been there before moment from the Cubs. I thought that was interesting. To see the two locker rooms kind of just, you know, where they're at. This is the fourth time since Joe Maddon has arrived that the Cubs have been in the postseason. This is what they expect to be doing every year, and, you know, they're not satisfied with a wild card win. They want to go win that division. So it's, I think it's the right mindset for the Cubs, or a team that's just been grinding and grinding and grinding to come in there knowing you've got to earn everything. I think it's the right mantra for this team. Today, of course, was the Cubs social night. There's a bunch of fun bloggers out at Wrigley Field today. I didn't make it to Wrigley Field, unfortunately. I had to work late, and then, you know, life took over, unfortunately, so I wasn't able to get over. I wouldn't have been able to get over there until right before game time. So, but there was plenty of cool events, a bunch of awesome people. Kelly Wallace from Lockdown Cubs actually threw out the first pitch today. She was wearing her Expanded Rosters shirt, which is awesome. Go check out Expanded Rosters. Fun website, very interesting takes on writing styles and some long-form stuff, some, you know, just really cool baseball writing takes that you wouldn't normally see from a baseball writing group. So, but she threw out the first pitch, was awesome. Of course, Ryan was out there with, you know, guys like Brett Taylor, Evan Altman, pretty much all the Bleacher Nation guys I saw. Some of the Cubs insiders, I think, you know, a few of the Cubs prospect writers, things like that. So it was fun to see all those guys out there. Just a fun night. It's really cool to see the Cubs kind of get involved with a lot of these bloggers. They're one of the few teams that really does embrace that blogger mentality. Of course, I think Evan and Brett led the segment at Brick House. I know Tony and Kelly Kroll were on the pregame show with David Kaplan, which I think was shot at Brick House. So just a fun night, cool environment, and a good way to kind of break in the weekend here as we get into this Cardinals series. So if you guys are going to be in Chicago, let Lockdown Cubs know. I live just a few blocks away from Wrigley. I'm going to be trying to go to one or maybe even two of these games this weekend against the Cardinals, just because I would assume, I mean, prices are probably expensive for the series, but, you know, postseason games are going to be outrageous. So I figured try and steal some $40, $50 tickets while I could before they're $150 to, you know, stand at Wrigley. But if you're going to be at Wrigley Field, make sure you're tweeting at Lockdown Cubs. Let us know. I'll try and meet up with you, grab a beer. Me, of course, because I am a nice guy, sort of. But beyond that, that's today's show. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Of course, we'll be back Monday. I know we got a iTunes comment yesterday or a couple days ago saying that, you know, they were upset that we weren't posting daily podcasts. That's on me. I'm just getting used to my new schedule for work. I was a midday person. Now I'm in the morning, and it's kind of a whole flux of things. I used to be able to do this podcast at 9 in the morning. Now I'm doing it at 11:30 at night. So it's a little bit different for me. Getting up at 6 in the morning to get to work is tough. So not going to bore you guys with details, but just letting you know there will be shows from here on out. You won't have to worry about that Monday through Friday until the postseason ends, or until the Cubs are eliminated, or until the offseason gets boring, whatever it may be. I'm going to give you guys as many podcasts as I can. So stick around, guys. It's going to be a fun weekend and fun couple weeks, hopefully, for the Cubs as the postseason starts to finally arrive. So stick around here, guys. Of course, follow Locked On Cubs on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Make sure you are liking, commenting, subscribing, doing whatever you can with these podcasts. You can find them on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You should be able to find the Locked On Cubs as well as the Locked On Network. So thanks for sticking around, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Let's hope we're back Monday to celebrate 3 wins and an NL Central crown.